With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Our friend Jackie Goss just tweeted at us, Seth. Seth just told a story in the previous segment about how he sat through an entire horrific movie just because there was some meme out there with a scene in it, a Tom Hardy movie. What was it called, Seth? A horrible mob movie.
Legend.
Legend, yeah.
Legend.
And so you just wanted to see the actual scene in the movie where this meme had come from, and it turns out it was the last scene in a really crappy movie, so you wasted 2 hours of your life waiting for it. Jackie says, Seth sitting through Titanic because he saw a gif of the old lady throwing the diamond into the ocean.
It was, yeah. Like, I watched Citizen Kane just to find out what all this rosebud hubbub was all about.
Exactly.
And, yeah. Did here, let me pull it up on my phone. Let me see.
I got it right here. Yeah, he sent it to me.
See, like, look, it's Tom Hardy. I didn't even know it was Tom Hardy. He's, like, wearing a suit. Like in an old time looking 1960s suit,
yeah.
Pointing. So it's this guy. He's like a funny looking chubby guy pointing at Tom Hardy, and it turns out both these characters are played by Tom Hardy. And then at the very end of this little thing they do on Instagram, not on this one, Sean, but on a different one, they show Jonah Hill like dancing through the crowd.
Oh, really?
But it's to this techno beat. It's this mashup. And then Instagram is such a more fun place than Twitter. Oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell you how much more just positive and happy it is. And yet, I keep coming back to my damn slut bitch goddess Twitter because I can't quit her.
Right.
I hate you
right,
so much,
right,
but I love you. Don't leave me.
Ben,
ever.
Don't dump that. Don't. Yeah. He's allowed to say that. I wouldn't advise saying it too much because the kids are back in school, but he's allowed to say it, Ben. He's allowed
Sorry,
to say
kids.
It. Yeah.
Sorry.
Boy, they're going to be saying things at the first day of school, boy. I tell you. All right.
Wait until they start watching Tom Hardy movies.
Exactly. Exactly.
They'll get sent back a grade.
That's right.
The teacher's like, he was advancing well in English, and now I don't know what language he's speaking. What is Tom Hardy anyway? He's not British. It's not English he's speaking.
All right. So Peter King, in his Football Morning in America column every Monday, it's a lengthy column. Each week, but he's got a lot of good nuggets in there. He was at Texans camp this past week. I didn't realize that. He was at the legendary victory over the Saints on Saturday night.
Yeah, McLean told us that in the pregame.
That's right.
He'd
been
talking to Peter King.
Yeah, that's right.
So I knew we were going to get something on Football Morning in America.
Right.
So I was excited because a lot of times people talk to Peter King. They say things to him because he's been around so long that they feel like they're talking to their priest and they can tell him anything.
Okay. Well, here's what he was told. Here are five things. Some of these are observations. Okay. Some of them are, I guess, there's a little bit sizzly.
One of these is a little disturbing because I'm worried that Peter King might know more than he either knows more than we do or he's got a bad source.
Yep.
So just keep your ears perked, everybody.
So here, the first couple are just sort of observations about the team. One, he points out that the Texans won the game against the Saints, but when the first team was in, it wasn't pretty. Marlon Mack got leveled for a 2-yard loss. Then Chris Conley got stopped for a loss of one. Then a short sideline game. The offensive line is still a question, even after the investments in Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard at tackle. Okay, so we saw that. Nothing to dig into there. Next nugget.
I will say a little bit there. I didn't quite understand his line of reasoning where he was saying that the offensive line was still an issue, and yet the offensive starters didn't really play that. Titus Howard played for a little bit, but it wasn't the full breadth of starters that were the issue. But I share his concern for the Texans' offensive line.
Sure.
He and I both stay up late at night thinking about
it. You're simpatico on that. I got it.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith's, this is the next nugget. Lovie Smith's got 2 years for his patient teaching approach to work. Houston's not going to repeat the one-year run of David Culley last year, here's the thing. This is the thing you're referring to, Seth. There's still a buzz of Josh McCown coaching here at some point, hanging over the franchise. But for now, Smith is GM, Nick Caserio's kind of coach with a team that has a long way to go. Do you feel like the buzz of Josh McCown is hanging over this franchise right now?
No, I don't. Partly because, look, Josh McCown was first brought to this organization when Jack Easterby was the interim GM. And we don't bring up Jack Easterby a lot on this show anymore because, and we frankly never did as much as some people believe we did. But he's been relegated to his cubbyhole of things that he's good at. And I don't think that he has that same sphere of influence. Maybe I'm naive about it. Maybe people in the organization are just worried that somehow Josh McCown, a man who is, as far as I know, still is not professionally coaching college or the NFL, that somehow he's going to come back and be the head coach. I'd be very, very shocked if that were to happen at this point.
I would too. But Peter King says that apparently he felt some palpable buzz of Josh McCown while he was here for 24 hours.
Yes, wait, where am I?
Buzz? Who is this that guy? Sounds like that sounds like multiple people are talking about that. And I talked to enough people in the Texans organization that I feel like I would have picked up on a buzz.
I think so too. He says this. Best young offensive skill player on the roster, wideout Nico Collins, the big second-year target from Michigan. If he's healthy for 17 games, Collins, 6'4 and physical, could become Davis Mills' favorite target with an outside chance at a 1,000-yard season. Collins had a very good camp. That I agree with.
Yeah.
I agree with that take.
Yeah, we talked to John Harris in the pregame as well, and John bristled a little bit when I mentioned that, people might be concerned with Nico Collins pushing off too much. And I understand why John bristled, I guess, because he doesn't share the same opinion. I understand, though, too. I think that Nico is a big physical guy. And if he's going to be using arm bars and use his hands effectively, he does have to be very sly with it and very good with it. I think so far he's shown evidence that he can be. It's just John did point out that a couple of the when all these videos show up from one-on-ones before practice, it's a very small sliver of everything that a guy does in a practice, but it kind of weighs heavily in people's minds. And there was one that I and a bunch of other people tweeted out from the other day when Derek Stingley and Nico were going against each other, where it looked from one angle like he pushed off pretty egregiously, and John saying no, even on that rep it wasn't that bad, but people are blowing up a few of the little isolated incidents more than they should.
I agree. I think Nico Collins does have a chance to be a 1,000-yard receiver this season, in part because it's not as hard to get to 1,000 yards anymore.
Not if they keep running draws on 2nd and 17. I'll tell you that much.
That's what sets up 3rd and 13, where you look for who? Nico freaking Collins, baby. Yeah.
Who'd they throw it to on third? Was that a running back that they threw to?
It's that Conley out route that Peter King was referring to before.
That's right, it was Conley. That's
All right, so that's
pushing the ball downfield.
That's it.
One 5-yard pass on 3rd and 17 at a time.
Next Peter King take. Hard not to dream about the future with Houston having its own and Cleveland's first round picks in 2023. The Texans have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds next year. Everyone, including Mills, knows the Texans will be scouting Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud and Alabama's Bryce Young hard this fall. I saw another mock draft for next year yesterday. The Texans still have not been able to shake among the national media the perception that they will be picking first and will select C.J. Stroud. I threw another log onto the C.J. Stroud pile of 2023 mock drafts yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
Pro Football Network had a 2-round 2023 mock draft. Texans with the first pick take C.J. Stroud, Ohio State.
You're part of the buzz now. You're the buzz that will be mentioned. There's growing buzz circles.
I hear Josh McCown is going to be coaching him, too.
Did C.J. Stroud ever attend a conference, a Bible conference that Josh McCown was speaking at?
We should
at
check.
Anything?
We should Google that and see if he did. Yeah.
He spoke with Lovie Smith. This quote, I didn't quite figure out. Tell me what I'm missing here, because I've missed a few things this morning. Like calling the state of
like
Texas.
The state we
Florida.
Live in, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Coach Smith on his style with a young and impressionable team. Quote, I don't think you can coach on fear. Okay, I agree with that. Yep. So he says, I don't think you can coach on fear. I don't know a teacher at any level who yells and dog cusses his student. I don't know about that. I feel like Lovey had a lucky and fortuitous run of teachers in his life where he never had one that yelled or dog cussed. Do you think he meant like he doesn't know an effective teacher at any level?
I think maybe, well, it depends. If we're counting coaches as teachers, then he flat out, I don't think that's true.
I think he's talking about classroom teachers. Classroom teachers,
yeah,
that don't yell and dog cuss. I had a couple, man.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
You went to Catholic school, right? Yeah.
Just in college. I went to public school growing up.
That's right. Did they hit you with rulers at Catholic college?
No, but you know what happened one time? There was a priest named Father Murphy who taught geology.
I don't like him.
And yeah, he was really drunk all the time. And so, in that particular class, he would hand us a slip of paper right before finals that told us what our grade was going into the final.
Yeah.
He would hand them to each of us. There's like, say, 40 people in the class. He'd hand them to each of us, and it would say, your grade right now is an A-. If you get an A on the final, your grade would be blah, blah, blah. And if you couldn't change your grade, if you couldn't elevate your grade with an A on the final, you didn't have to take the final. It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. So I had a buddy, my best friend from both high school and college. He got handed the slip of paper. And he had an A minus. He would have needed like a 99 on the final to get an A.
It's impossible in Father Murphy's class.
Well, he would have needed a 99. It was mathematically possible for him to get an A, but he would have rather just taken the A minus and just not take the final and sleep in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he says, he raises his hand and he says, Father Murphy, it says here I have to get, if I get a 99, I can elevate my grade to an A. Do I have the option? Can I just not take it and take my A minus? And Father Murphy walks over to John's desk. And he says, oh, you don't want to take the final? Oh, okay. And he grabs the piece of paper, crumples it up, and sticks it in John's mouth.
Oh, my God.
He goes, you don't want to take the final? You'll just take this, and we'll just stick this right in here, and you don't take the final. Oh,
now,
okay.
Wait, was he doing that? Was he doing it, like, playfully or aggressively?
No, he was doing it aggressively. Okay. He grabbed the piece of paper, crumpled it up, and jammed it in John's mouth like Ted DiBiase sticking a $100 bill into a wrestler's mouth after he put a sleeper hold on him. Yeah.
Boy, that happens these days. And he would have, well, they don't fire people, right? They would have moved him to a different place where people.
John's a high-powered attorney in Chicago now. He would have sued for millions. Would have been great. Yeah.
And the church would have moved him to a precinct where people complain less.
Yes.
Right? Is it a precinct? What do they call it?
I don't know.
Is it a district?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do they do in the
jurisdiction?
Church?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So he was
drunk all the time. And was that, did he do stuff like that regularly?
He was very strange. He didn't do physical things, like aggressive things like that, but he was funny to be, he was funny to have as your teacher because it was geology. So he would be like, so rhyolite and diorite are very, very fine and shale and sandstone. Like you couldn't focus on what he was saying because he was slurring his words all the time.
It sounds like he was a bridge troll.
Yeah.
I'd be drunk all the time if I were a priest. I can't blame him.
Oh, yeah, dude. Especially in South Bend, Indiana. Are you kidding me? Everybody's drunk there to begin with, and then to be a priest up in South Bend, Indiana.
I used to have this weird, irrational fear when I was a kid that I was going to grow up to be a priest. I don't know how. I wasn't Catholic, but I had some weird thing like that. Somehow I was going to end up an orphan in a monastery or something, and then I was going to become a priest. And this was right around the time where I was really starting to take an interest in girls, I think. And I was so I had this fear of needed to be sure that my mom was driving safely at all times. Didn't want to end up an orphan,
you know,
because I love her, but also because of the priest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Lamont says, "Why does drunk Father Murphy sound like Lou Holtz?" He did sound a little like Lou Holtz. I guess that's how everybody sounded up in South Bend at that time. Last quote here on the Peter King thing, the confidence in Mills. Did you see Davis Mills tell Peter King that the Texans are ready to go shock the world?
He said, we're ready to go out and shock the world.
Yeah,
is what he said.
Yeah,
I admire the gusto. What
would shocking the world constitute for the Texans? Like, what's the minimum? What's the minimum performance by the Texans that would shock the world?
For one, I have a standing objection to the term shocking the world for any American sport.
It's, noted.
Generally, you could go 17-0 and win every game in the playoffs by 40 points. The vast majority of the world will be none the wiser for
Counselor
it.
Counselor Payne, your protest has been noted. Yes, okay, that said, what
you.
Would be the minimum?
We get that out of the way.
Yes.
We'll just play that whenever we go.
That's right.
Shocking the world, I think, would maybe be an AFC championship appearance.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
if they make the playoffs, it's a nice story, but we've seen a bunch of bad teams turn it around quickly and make the playoffs.
You don't think making the playoffs would be shocking the world? This is a team that's viewed as picking first in the draft by everybody.
Sean, this ain't moving the needle in Lisbon, Portugal. Okay.
I love that.
All right. Portugal doesn't wake up until the championship.
I love that you are taking the world part of this literally.
Does this move the needle in Lisbon?
That's
what I always
You know
like
what?
To think.
I'm here for it. I admire it. All right. So Peter King, his observations from Texans camp. All right. Heading into the 7 o'clock hour here. Hey, if you want to join us for a preseason party in the Sports Radio 610 suite, second biggest suite at NRG Stadium.
What?
Behind the owner's suite.
It's
monstrous. It's monstrous.
I get lost in there.
True story.
Biannually.
Yeah.
We're due.
And Seth's like, am I in Florida right now? Where the hell am I? Next Thursday night, it's the Texans preseason finale against the Niners. Keep listening. You'll get a chance to win in the next hour, about an hour from now, sometime between 7:45 and 8 o'clock. You'll get a pair of tickets to come hang out with us and the whole 610 crew for some food and some football. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make a note of that. About an hour from now, be listening. Up next, the MLB postseason schedule is out. And some interesting things in here because the playoff format is new. Why the Astros getting that 1 or 2 seed is super, super critical. We will tell you that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.